BSM.com.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning. And we were talking in the last hour about a variety of topics, but one of the things that I brought up is this article that we have at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, which is about remembering New Bedford's Sunbeam Bread Bakery. Jackson from Fun 107, who actually worked there when he was in high school as part of the nighttime cleanup crew, he writes about his memories of working there, and the smell of the fresh baked bread is something that he will never forget. And I talked about the Chatham Village Crouton Factory and Wareham and the Industrial Park. And now there's bad smells too. So it's not just about remembering the good smells, but I'm asking, what are the most memorable smells in the South Coast? And we've gotten a few more responses on our Facebook page. Adelaide says, the south end of New Bedford at low tide or when all of the ships come in, one of my favorite childhood smells that makes my friends who visit the area very confused. Jeff says, the smell of wasted money at the windmill staging area in the south end of New Bedford. Well, I think that smells like pretty much the rest of the waterfront. And Tim says, Sunbeam Bakery. We also got another message from Carol Ann, who said that for her, one of the most memorable smells is walking into Cordage Park in Plymouth. Love the old rope factory smell. And yes, absolutely. Cordage Park had its own smell to it. I don't know if any of that persists in the remaining buildings that are over there, you know, since they've changed them all up. But going into the old school Cordage Park, like 1980s Cordage Park. I remember walking in there and experiencing, you're kind of hit in the face with that smell. Another place that had a smell like that onto its own was the VF outlet, right? When you walked in there, you're like, this is the VF outlet. And so did the factory outlet mall that was by the Sagamore Bridge. That was a mixture of different smells because they had, I think, like a coffee shop in there and a candle place and all that kind of stuff. You get a little bit of mix of that. It's like when you walk into a mall, you know, the Dartmouth Mall kind of smells the same as the South Shore Plaza, kind of smells the same as Providence Place. Like malls have that. It's the combination of everything that's you find in all those malls, right? You've got there's the perfume store over here. For some reason, the jewelry stores have a particular smell to them. I think they must pump it into the air. But there's all, you know what walking into certain stores is going to smell like. And then you get that confluence of all of it when you're walking through the mall. And then you walk by Auntie Anne's Pretzels or whatever else might be there. But with factory outlet malls, you never knew exactly what it was going to smell like. But when you walked in, they had their own distinct smells. And then, you know, other things in the New England area that had a scent to it. I mean, you ever gone up to Maine and gone through some of those paper mill towns? That's bad. You want to complain about low tide and what that smells like or living near a sewer treatment plant or anything like that? That's nothing compared to the smell that comes from a paper mill. And the people who live there are so oblivious to it, they have no idea. They don't even remember what it smells like to smell it. Because it's permanently infused in their nostrils. But yeah, Cordage Park was a great one, especially I used to get to, for a while, my dad had a table at the flea market there. And the person who was in charge of things used to pay me a couple of bucks because to use the bathroom, I would have to leave where the flea market was and go into the main part of the Cordage Park shops, which was empty at that time in the morning. And so the guy who ran everything paid me $5 every day, every Sunday, or was it Saturday and Sunday? I forget what days we were there, but the weekends. And I'd get $5 to go and walk around and open up and unlock all the doors, save him the trouble. And you walk into that place when nobody's been around for a few hours. Not only was it haunted as hell, but, you know, you definitely got that Cordage Park smell. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I was listening about people talking about getting the colds and everything, stuff like that. Over here where I live, the air is very dry. I mean, you can get bloody noses in here. I've always used humidifiers. I buy small ones, one for the bedroom, one for the living room. And I talk to people out here who complain, oh, my nose is... And I say, well, just get a small one, like I do. And, oh, I can't afford that. Well, I paid $16 for mine. I don't think that's an absorbent amount of money. They come home with cartons of cigarettes. So I throw that up in their face. I say, well, I saw you last week coming in with two cartons, you know. Well, I got to have my cigarette. I says, well, then have your bloody nose and be happy and be quiet. So, and do you know that a lot of people don't realize this, but people can get addicted to Tylenol. There's a woman here. I've seen her in not even the same month, 1 month, coming out of Walgreens with these little boxes and bottles of Tylenol. So what are you doing with all that Tylenol? You pass them out? Oh, no, I take Tylenol. I feel good when I take Tylenol. I said, how many do you take? So I take it all the time. I said, you take it all the time when you're not even sick? She goes, no, oh, no, I feel good. It makes me feel good. Well, you can look this up yourself. Tylenol will wreck your liver faster than anything else. And she goes, oh, no, I'm going to use it. I don't care what you say. Well, go ahead. Wreck your liver. Have a party after and cry about it, after what it does to you. And one more thing. There was a time, almost every 10 minutes on the radio, when they had the ad for that thing called Novage, where you go and clean out your nose. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that you cannot use that every minute because your nose creates its own protection with certain bacteria in the nose. And if you're going to keep on flushing out your nose, you're going to get sicker than you did before you bought that doggone thing.
Yeah, I mean, you can use it to help you when you're sick and clear out some of the mucus, but you don't want to be using it on a daily basis.
Absolutely. That's true. But during that ad, if you listen to it, it's sick. People don't realize. I think people, some of them, just they go nuts. They hear something new, they run out, and all of a sudden they're addicted to the doggone thing. It's worse than cigarettes. The Tylenol. You know, my own sister, I'll admit it, I won't say her name, but my sister, around 15, 16 years ago, she got hooked on that too. And the doctor ordered her to stop it. She was already having a problem. And another thing that was causing a problem, what the heck was it? Oh, I wish I could remember now. I know you mentioned Vicks. Some people put that on their feet at night, and they say that helps you if you don't feel good or something.
Oh, yeah, but I was talking about my grandmother used to have her kids swallow a spoonful of it.
Yeah. I mean, people will do the craziest things, and I hear it all the time. I say, what's wrong with that? You just think about it, because you can get addicted to stuff. It's not just chocolate like me or cigarettes.
In some like cases, too, I don't even know that it's necessarily an addiction as much as it is a fixation. So, you know, an addiction is something the body craves and a fixation is something that the mind craves. And I think that, you know, like, look, I know somebody that has to have Flonase all the time, that they feel like they can't breathe unless they use Flonase. And it's like, but what you're doing is you're just making your nostrils bigger by taking that Flonase. Like, just leave it alone and let your nostrils get back to what they're supposed to be. And then when you start breathing through them again, then you'll feel normal again. It just, you got to adjust to it.
Yeah, when you just said that about the breathing, that's the one I forgot. Nasal sprays. Now, it's okay to get just the saline. You got a dry nose, but make sure you're buying the saline because you look at the bottles, they all look the same. If you get the kind that tries to open up your sinus, that thing If you overdo it even a little, like more than 3 days, it backfires on you and it shuts your nasal right up. You actually have to go to the hospital. I know many people who got hooked on the nasal spray. So, guys, be careful of that. If you're going to get saline, make sure you're getting the saline, because that'll moisturize the inside of your dry nose. But those bottles all look the same. You have to read it. It's dangerous. You go to the hospital, they have to give you pills, and then they tell you it doesn't work in one day. It's going to take a few days, and you're breathing through your mouth the whole time. It backfires, so be careful.
Some of us just naturally breathe through our mouths.
I'm like that, too. I have that deviated septum where you get a little surgery to fix it. I'm not going to do it.
All right.
If I will. Well, have a good day.
You as well.
Don't buy any Tylenol now.
I just take regular aspirin. Actually, no, Tylenol is, because I can only take, that's all I can take now because of my kidney issues.
Yeah. Oh, one more thing real quick. People still laughing at me because I wear my mask around here. You know, maybe it's true when they say, oh, the COVID virus can go right through the mask and it doesn't work. Okay, I'll believe that. I can believe it. But when I'm in an elevator and somebody's coughing and sneezing, or they have a cold, that mask will certainly protect me from a cold. That cold is not going to get through the mask. So I haven't caught a cold yet this year, and I'm wearing it. I even wear that mask just to go down the hall to throw one bag of trash out.
I like wearing the mask. I didn't brush my teeth once in 2020. I didn't have to because I had the mask on, so nobody would smell my breath. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's good for you.
All right. Yeah. You have a good day.
Bye-bye. You too.
And let's take another call here, 508-996-0500. You are next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Doing great. Couple smells I enjoyed was Justy's Bakery on Purchase Street.
Okay.
Bakery, it was a bread place.
It was just bread that was baking? That was the scent that you got?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was down from Weld Square a bit.
Okay.
It was, yeah. And Planters Peanuts. Now, no problemo on the corner of Union and Purchase Street. Purchase and William Street.
Mm-hmm.
That was also a mighty nice aroma. And one of the worst I remember in the early 70s playing basketball at Ashley Park in New Bedford is that unmistakable smell of the rubber from Goodyear Factory. Wow.
And that probably is still stuck in your nostrils to this day.
The people that lived in that area, well, in the summertime, you had to open your windows. I'm sure they were used to it, but wow, it was just, unforgettable. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for the call.
And one quick thing. Yes. A caller yesterday mentioned about how we've lost two stations, NESN and NBC Sports,
mm-hmm.
part of the Comcast package. And I noticed it last night. I went there to NESN, and then I couldn't change the station back. I had to call Comcast. I had to unplug the TV, and then they fixed it again so I could change the station. But I was wondering if anybody knows how much they're charging to order each of those stations, which are now premium now.
Yeah, Bob said the package cost $60, but he ended up calling and talking to somebody. He finally got somebody on the phone, and they got him a package where he was able to sign up for this new package where he got the channels back, and now he's actually paying less money than he was before. But I will warn anybody that does that, that's an introductory price that they give you for a certain amount of time. And then after that certain amount of time is over, it goes to the regular price. So just, keep that in mind.
Okay.
And when that happens, if you call back and say, hey, I'm paying more now and I don't want to pay any more now, I like the price that I was paying before, but this is now too much, they'll usually extend that and give you that price for a little bit longer as well.
Okay. Is there any other stations other than those two you're getting in this package for $60?
I don't know.
Don't know. Okay. All right. That is a bit of a hefty hike, I have to admit it.
No doubt.
Yeah. Thank you, Tim.
All right. Bye-bye. You have a good day. And it's not like the Red Sox have given you a reason over the last couple of years to want to pay extra. Although maybe it's every year when you get to this point, you're on the cusp of spring training, everybody's going to be excited when pitchers and catchers report in a couple of weeks. There's the optimism, but is it paying more for NESN kind of optimism? Are the Bruins giving you enough hope this year to say, I'll pay more for NESN? So again, you can call them and talk to them about it, but just be aware that when they give you these pricing deals, those are limited time deals. Now, limited time usually is like 2 years. They'll tell you that after 24 months, it's going to revert to what the regular price would be. But then you just call them back when that happens and say, okay, take these channels away. I don't want them anymore now. It's too expensive. And then they'll say, well, what if we gave you that same price for another 2 years or another year or whatever? Because here's the thing. They don't have to charge you as much as they're charging you. They don't. They just charge you it because they can. How many people had that charge go and just said, you know what? Fine. Now, I haven't checked to see if I still have those channels. But my package from Comcast is literally just everything. Just everything. I think the only thing I don't have is the international channel tier because I'm not going to watch those. But everything else I have, and I pay $300 a month for cable, and it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And I always say, you know, I'm going to take a look at that. This will be the month that I fix that, and then I never do. I'm not interested in cutting the cord and going all streaming for everything because I work, when I can get work in the TV industry, I work in the TV industry. So I like to have access to all those different types of shows without having to sign up for new streaming services to get them. I need to go back and watch 20 episodes of this show before I go and work on it. Then I want to have those, you know, readily available. And I don't watch, like, I don't go to the channels and watch a movie, but I go to their on-demand and watch a movie. But eventually I'll do a big forensic audit of the way that I spend my entertainment budget and figure out ways to trim it down. But yeah, I pay way too much for cable out of probably pure laziness. So either they still include those channels with my package because I pay so much already, or they just bumped my package up. They just bumped my price up, my bill. And I'll find out when I go online and look at it. But I'm fine if they get rid of those channels too, because I don't watch the Bruins and I don't really watch the Red Sox either. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good, good. I tried to watch the Bruins last night.
I hate to interrupt you. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yeah, I'll kill that. Let's see if we can do it this way, Tim. That's not working for you. So. Hear me now?
I can hear you. You just sound a little bit far away.
How about now?
That's right. Okay. All right, I'll take a break and you can call back. How about that?
Thanks.
All right, thank you. Yeah, it's just it's kind of hard. It sounds far away, and if I'm having trouble hearing it, it won't go out over the air very well. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of quick moments.
Good.
All right, welcome back in. We'll go back to the phones. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim, it's me again. Lucky you.
Much better, much better.
Well, no, you know what? I had my phone hooked up to the, what do you call that?
Like Bluetooth?
Yes, I had Bluetooth on. I was listening to music. So when I called you up, the phone was struggling with you and Bluetooth. And apparently you lost. But anyway, listen, Tim, I wanted to ask you this because I thought it was kind of interesting. I thought about this. Out of blue. Do you remember, because we have a new president, I have, my family has basically condemned me for having voted for Trump,
mm-hmm.
right? Giving him the, actually one of my brothers, a radio guy, said, you gave him the ammunition to the gun. Yeah, he was, you know, pretty brutal stuff. I remember this, so I just wanted to ask you this. I know you kind of feel the same way they do, but do you remember when Hunter Biden and his lawyer went into the congressional hearing room and mm-hmm. kind of mocked the whatever the hearing was? It wasn't about him, but he was under subpoena. He was ignoring the subpoena, and he showed up with his lawyer. And he goes in front of the Congress and is like, what are you going to do? And he was mocking them. And, you know, Taylor Greene got all upset and stuff. I was just thinking, he actually knew then, I think that was like in July or August, he knew then that his dad was going to pardon him. He knew he was off the hook.
Well, I mean,
Otherwise, why would you go into Congress and mock him like that?
Well, I mean, I think he was pretty obstinate through that whole process. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think it's reasonable to expect that anybody that's in that position, their dad's the president, they think that they're untouchable.
Yeah, but, I mean, who does? Yeah, but who goes in and mocks Congress? I mean, that's kind of over the top. Just because your dad's the president, you're going to go in there and antagonize them, and he did.
Yeah, but if you feel like you're being railroaded as he did, you know, what are you going to do? Sit there and be contrite?
He was being railroaded, like legitimately railroaded.
Yeah, I mean, that's been their position.
Did Hunter thought that? Maybe he did think that.
That's been their whole position is that this was all political. That's the way they felt about it from the beginning. So yeah, I would think that they would be pretty upset and feel like they were being railroaded.
If I had a deal with a foreign where I was making, you know, over the next 10 years, say $10 million, so I didn't have to register like I was supposed to as a foreign agent, the way the Justice Department went after the various people who didn't register as foreign people. And my dad says, hey, you got a blanket pardon. Because the next thing they were going to go after Hunter was not his taxes, not his, not being honest on his gun permit application. It was, well, you were supposed to register as a foreign agent. And Dad gave him full carte blanche immunity. Like, he knew that when he was sitting in the front of that lawyer.
Just look at it like this. You know, if you go into something and you're not guilty of something that people are accusing you of being guilty of, you might get angry and be obstinate about it. And also, if you are guilty, you might be angry and obstinate about it to make it look like you're not guilty.
Tim, it's like saying, hey, you know, I'm a little bit sketchy here, and there's a judge down in New Bedford in Superior Court, and I'm going to show up into his court and mock him. Because my dad's the president?
No, people do it all the time without their dad being president.
I don't know anybody who marks a judge can put you in jail for the rest of your life.
I wish I could say the same. I wish that was still the case, but unfortunately that's not the way that people face judgment anymore. And again, whether you're guilty or not, people will take that approach. It's in some people's minds, it's a strategy of how to either deflect or avoid the blame.
Do you think Donald Trump's children are better or worse than Joe Biden's children as American citizens and their patriotism?
I mean, it's
kind of a silly question.
Yeah, I'm not really here to judge anybody's patriotism, but I think that they're all just as questionable characters as Hunter Biden is.
You think Trump's kids are on the same on a par with Hunter Biden?
I mean,
that's interesting.
I do. I mean, for every accusation that people make about Hunter Biden, you can say the same thing about Donald Trump Jr.
Dad was president. Yeah. No, I get it. It's just kind of interesting. I think it's different. But you know, we'll let the.
Well, you think it's different because you support the guy, so you're going to look at it through a different lens.
Well, yeah, of course, I look at things differently than you do. But Donald Trump. Children never went in and mocked. I mean, Donald Trump Jr., his kid actually sat for 14 hours. They questioned him about whether or not, you know, when they mic'd the Trump Tower, whether or not he had, you know, some nefarious conversations with this Russian agent that was actually, I gotta hold you here because we're going too late to the news.
I'll say, you know, all you have to do is look at Donald Trump Jr.'s Twitter and see how disrespectful he is to other people. I mean, he may not do it in a congressional hearing, but he's certainly
I'm talking about being disrespectful to somebody who put you away from life.
Yeah,
they never did that.
I don't think it matters whether you're standing in front of a judge or in front of a senator.
When your old man pardons you, why worry?
Well, let me ask you this before I let you go. All right?
Sure.
In a couple of days, Joe Biden is gone. You won't hear about the Bidens anymore. What's going to be the new boogeyman if Hunter Biden isn't there anymore?
Oh, no. Well, listen, there's always a new boogeyman. It's not going to be the Bidens, but thank
right.
God
yeah,
but not the Bidens.
There'll be a new
thank
enemy
God
to complain
God
about
it's
every
not
day.
The Bidens. Thank God it's not the Bidens.
All right. Well, thank you. Have a good day.
Bye, Kit. Bye, Tim.
Just remember, Joe Biden gave his life to public service. Donald Trump is only in public service because it serves him. Caller, hang on. We will get to you, but I gotta let Phil Devitt do the news. He's been waiting too long. All right, so we'll take your calls right after Phil Devitt and the news.
The death toll increases and some arrests in the Los Angeles wildfires. Who's skipping Trump's inauguration? And good health news from the royal family.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
At least 25 people are dead as a result of fires in Los Angeles. 8 people died in the Palisades fire. 17 people died in the Eaton fire. Firefighters facing challenging conditions now in their battle against the wildfires, with powerful winds forecast that could cause extreme fire behavior in the blazes or turn any new spark into a raging inferno. Although so far, CNN reports those winds are lighter than feared. The Los Angeles Police Department has arrested 14 people in connection with the Pacific Palisades wildfire. An official says 3 noteworthy arrests of arson suspects took place outside the fire zone on Sunday and Monday. Other offenses range from failing to meet curfews and impersonating a firefighter and police officer to vandalism and burglary. President-elect Donald Trump's choice for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth vowed on Tuesday to foster a warrior culture at the Pentagon and confronted allegations of sexual assault and excessive drinking, questions about his derisive views of women in combat during a heated Senate confirmation hearing. Hegseth repeatedly deflected the various misconduct allegations and instead focused on his own military experience in the Army National Guard. This is senators determine whether the combat veteran and former TV news show host is fit to lead the U.S. military. Former First Lady Michelle Obama will not attend Donald Trump's inauguration next week, according to her office, which did not provide an explanation for the decision. Former President Barack Obama is confirmed to attend the 60th inaugural ceremonies. Michelle will not attend. That's all her office will say. The decision to forgo attendance at the swearing-in is a break with tradition for the ceremony in which former presidents and their spouses typically participate. All living former presidents and their wives are expected to attend. Michelle, also not in attendance at a memorial service last week for former President Jimmy Carter, remaining instead in Hawaii. Government inspectors documented unsanitary conditions at several Boar's Head deli meat plants, not just the factory that was shut down last year after a deadly outbreak of listeria poisoning. This according to federal records. Newly released reports from Boar's Head plants in Indiana, Arkansas, and Virginia describe multiple instances of meat and fat residue left on equipment and walls, dripping condensation falling on food, mold, insects, and other problems dating back roughly 6 years. Last May, one inspector documented general filth in a room at the Indiana plant. The U.S. Agriculture Department released the inspection records in response to Freedom of Information Act requests from the Associated Press and other news organizations. And Catherine, Princess of Wales, reveals that she is in remission from cancer following a visit to the London hospital where she was treated last year. Catherine, in a post on social media, spoke of her relief to now be in remission and that she remained focused on her recovery. She said, quote, "As anyone who's experienced a cancer diagnosis will know, it takes time to adjust to a new normal." The 43-year-old said, "I am, however, looking forward to a fulfilling year ahead."
WBSM Sports.
Bruins beat the Tampa Bay Lightning last night. Now on to a game with the Ottawa Senators on Saturday. And the Celtics and Toronto Raptors are up first tonight at 7:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sunny and windy for your Wednesday, a high of 30 degrees. Mostly sunny on Thursday, a high of 31. On Friday, sunny and a high of 38. On Saturday, partly cloudy. Increasing clouds at night and a high of 45. And on Sunday, mainly cloudy with a chance of rain or snow late, a high of 39. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We have somebody who's been patiently waiting. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim.
How's it going?
How you doing this morning? Good. I got a comment on some smells. My wife reminded me of a good one. I used to come home from the Palladium bowling lanes years ago when I bowled duck pins and almost had to throw the clothes away. That's how bad it was. And the smell, it wasn't a smell when you went to the Palladium. It was many. And as soon as you walked in the door, there was a bar, so you smelled alcohol. And then you walk in a little further, you smell mold because it was underground. You remember the Palladium lanes?
I don't. I've heard about it, but I never went there.
Well, it was like it was a combination of alcohol, mold, smoke, and feet because they rented bowling shoes too. Mm-hmm. So it was, when you went in there, you know where you were.
They didn't spend the extra money on those cans of deodorizer spray before they put the shoes back on the shelf.
Oh, they did, but it didn't matter.
Didn't make a difference.
No, not much.
Yeah, that I mean, there's also the smell of when they wax the lanes, you get that too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Then the chalk smell. Oh yeah, there's a lot of stuff in a bowling alley for sure.
Very good, Tim. I just wanted to make that comment. Quick question, did you get pictures I sent to you by any chance?
Which ones? Oh, the ones of the sticker?
Ragamuffins. Yeah, the Ragamuffins group that
I did.
A doors poster. Okay. Very good. I'm glad you got them. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care.
And we will take more of your calls, 508-996-0500. That is the question that I asked this morning. Based on Jackson's article at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app regarding his memories of working at Sunbeam Bakery. And I was asking, what are some of the memorable smells on the South Coast? And we're getting some fun and interesting answers. Dennis says, I remember the smell of Mother Parker donuts. I mean, any donut smell is a good smell, right? We're getting a few more, too, on the Facebook page. Mary says, the peanut store in downtown New Bedford. Amy Beth says, Sunbeam Bakery in front and the Butter Bread Bakery that was on Nash Road and Madeira Ave. I mean, I think you can't go wrong with the smell of fresh baked bread or any kind of fresh baked bakery items. That's always a good smell. But there's also the bad smells as well. CMAS over in Rochester, they had their times of having a rough smell. Here, you know, you come here on a Saturday night when the 99 is hopping, you're like, oh, that's the grease trap. Yep, I can smell the grease trap. Certainly smelled it the other day when they were here pumping it out. But in a way, that's kind of an oddly comforting smell for me because it's a little bit nostalgic for me from all my time working in food service. Didn't love going home smelling like it. Especially, I had my grease trap clothes when I worked at Mill Pond Diner because we used to have to get out there and unclog the grease trap ourselves when it would get backed up. And thankfully, I didn't have to do it as much as other people did, but I had my boots and my pants that I would wear when I had to go into the grease trap. And then those were kept separately from everything else. I just started keeping them at the diner under the stairs. And the caller had mentioned having to throw your clothes away when you came home from the bowling alley. I actually had that happen when I came home from the USS Salem one time. They call it ship stink. And one of my shirts had it so bad I couldn't get it out no matter how many times I washed it. I just ended up tossing the shirt because I couldn't put it on and not smell the ship stink. And another smell is the smell of any old colonial era home. You know, if you walk into a house where somebody smoked for a lot of years, even though nobody smoked in there for 20 years, on a hot day, you're going to smell cigarette smoke because the wood's going to expand and the smell is kind of embedded in the wood. But, you know, you walk into a house that's 300 years old and you have this smell to it and you're like, what is that? And it's a combination of tobacco, because everybody smoked, and a tea that they used to make called Bowie. And so you get that smell. And so I have Bowie now, and when you open up the canister and you smell it, you're like, that smells like every 16, 1700s house I've ever been in. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Is everybody smoking?
Hi, is it me?
Only you know for sure, but it sounds like you.
Oh, okay. Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
Talking about smells.
Mm-hmm.
That came right to my mind. And one smell that was not too good of a smell was to walk into Norman's Meats to get your meat.
Mm-hmm.
It was notorious. I mean, but after about a minute when you were in there, you kind of got used to it. I miss Norman's Meats. I had a meat club there for years. And it's nice when you want a certain cut, they would go in the back and they would bring it out to you and say, is this what you want? Whether it's pork chop, steak, whatever. But when you open that door, it hits you right in the face. The smell of...
I was going to say, Norman's Meats, proud sponsor of The Locker Room on WBSM, the first show I ever did here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
That was on Nash Road, right?
Oh. Yes, it was.
Yep. We used to have them. They would be the regular sponsor of The Locker Room.
Yeah. I miss that place so much. Now everything is processed, and you have to look at it through plastic. And,
well, you can still go over to the butcher shop on Dartmouth Street.
Oh yes, I know that. Yeah, and I've been there many a times.
Uh-huh.
But it was so convenient. You had a meat club. You know, you had your ticket. And you didn't have to spend everything. It was just great. And sometimes the line was out the door, which was fine with me because you get to smell the fresh air.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I generally follow the advice of Groucho Marx. I would never want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member. But a meat club would definitely be a club I would join.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
It'd also be a great way to die. Just get beat with a meat club. You know, like take a few bites as they keep whacking me with it. That, you know.
That's... Yeah. And the men there, they were very, you know, very hospitable, and they were very, very good. They knew what they were doing. And when you were all done, there was a nice woman there. I forget her name now. But she was like so energetic and how are you? And nice to see you again, you know. I really, really miss that store.
All right. Well, thank you for the call and for the memories.
Okay. You're welcome. You have a good day.
And we got some more calls. We will get to everybody, but I'll get one more in here before I get to take a break. But everybody else, hang on, because we'll get you. It's going to be a quick break, and we'll get you right after that. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
Well, I good. How are you? I love the smell of gasoline.
Really?
I do. A good gas. A good smell. Yeah. I always did, and my mother did too. After my father, they pumped it then for us, and we'd open the windows and just smell. Oh, I used to love the smell of that. Yes, that's weird. But
my sister loves the smell of skunk.
Oh, I don't like that.
And everybody thinks she's weird for that.
There's a lot. There's other people I know that they like that too. It's much like the smell of the new pot then, because that's that smells like. But what was the other one? Oh, the ocean. As you're driving into Boston, I love the smell of that.
Mm-hmm.
The ocean there. And then, and this sounds really weird. You know the magic markers they used to have years ago, the metal?
Yeah.
They were like the metal ones that straw. I used to love the smell of that, too.
Yeah, that's that's you liked what happened when you sniffed those a little bit too deeply. That's what you liked.
No.
You sniff one
like
of
the smell.
Take a big whiff of one of those, your eyes roll in the back of your head.
Yeah, that's why. That's right. No, with the gasoline. Yeah, but you don't like the smell of gas? Oh, I love the smell of gas.
Not generally. I don't walk around with a rag dipped in gasoline huffing on it like you do. Apparently.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's me with the lighter. Yeah. No.
All right. I know we shouldn't make jokes like that when there's fires burning.
Oh, I know. I didn't even think of that till now. I know I have a little bit great nephew that lives out there, and but not near the fire, thank God. He's at Cardiff by the sea.
A friend of mine, we have this ongoing fascination with the fact that we are, the song We Didn't Start the Fire keeps popping up.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, even before these fires, like this has been going on for a couple of years now where he and I just were, we've been inundated with this song and references to this song. And we're like, what's going on with it? And he sent me a text yesterday of a meme that he saw of, you know, people talking about the LA fires and Billy Joel saying, well, it wasn't me because we didn't start the fire. And he tagged me in it. And I was going to share it. And then I was like, no, I don't think it's appropriate to make a joke. But it's that weird thing that we've had going on. So
I know. Oh, that one. Another thing is, Kelly Rose Beef could be selling, huh?
Yeah, I've come to learn Kelly's is not nearly as it's not nearly as good as I thought that it was. It's,
I loved it, Revere, years ago. No, I haven't been there in years.
You gotta go to go to some of the other places, and you'll say basically it's the difference between going to like, I don't know. Going to a really good steakhouse. It's like going to a really good steakhouse.
Yeah.
That's like some of the other roast beef places. That's like going to a really good steakhouse. And then Kelly's is like the equivalent of buying one of those steaks they sell at the Dollar Tree.
Oh.
Yeah. That's.
I used to go there for the fried clams. I like their fried clams.
Yeah, I'm talking just about the roast beef.
Across the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway.
All right.
All righty then.
You have a good day.
I'm going to go find my gas station. See you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Try not to sniff those magic markers while at the gas station. That just might be a little bit of sensory overload. Caller, hang on. We'll get to you as soon as we come back from a quick break. And we're going to go right back to the phones in a second. But before we do, we were talking about, you know, the butcher shop. I mentioned that before. And it really is one of the few remaining places where you can get that old school butcher shop experience, where you can walk in and see the meats and select what you want and ask for a cut the way that you want it, as thick or as thin as you like it. Maybe you want a pound of something, but you want it thinly sliced. Maybe you're looking for something that is a little bit on the thicker side because, you know, you want to be able to put it on the grill and give it some time to really, really cook. Whatever it may be, you can get it the way you want it at the butcher shop. They have stuff that's already marinated that you can just throw on the grill or on the stove when you get home and not have to worry about preparing it. They have stuff that's ready made every single day, so you can have a nice hot lunch or bring home some hot dinner, whatever it may be. Check out the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, for that real old school neighborhood market that you just can't get anywhere else. All right, let's go back to the phones. 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Low Tide at the Cove.
Yeah, that's one I can imagine sticks out in a lot of people's minds and noses.
Uh-huh.
That's it? No other smells?
Oh, I like skunk, too.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, well, hopefully, I don't want you to have to smell it, because that means the skunk probably got hit, but...
Well, I actually saw one at the Cove. I walked the Cove.
And
under those rocks.
Did you ask him to spray for you?
No.
All right. Yeah,
he turned around and left.
You enjoy that smell until it's all over you and you got to take a tomato juice bath. All right.
Yep, happened with the dog.
Oof. Yep. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, thank you for the call. You have a great day.
You too.
And let's take one more before we go take our final break of the hour. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, before I go into, I have two places kind of side by side, but has the newsroom gotten any updates on last night's fire on Oak Grove and Myrtle Street?
No.
It was initially called in. There was a couple of people trapped on the second floor. Then 29 minutes later, fire department released that people were safe and okay. So right up the street there from Haymack, right next to the highway.
All right. Thank you.
So the two smells. So back in the day when Quaker Oats, before it became Fine North, when the ovens would be going, so they were making the baked fish cakes and stuff and fish sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always down there. And now, especially in the summertime or late spring, the international cohog place, because when they get the cohogs and they get them out of the cages, they run them through steamers.
Oh.
And that's that strong stink that lasts for 2 or 3 days.
I mean,
they do a big run from a couple of boats in a row.
We had our cohog pots when we would make cohog chowder at the diner, because you couldn't put anything else in that pot after you'd steam cohogs in it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's for sure.
Everything else,
my friend, you have a good day.
You as well. Yeah, you did that. Everything else smelled like cohogs. You know, there was a big 50-gallon pot, so you'd want to do like your potatoes in it for your home fries or whatever, but you couldn't because they'd pick up that cohog smell. And then at Christmas time, we used to have to do the hot chocolate for the Wareham Christmas parade. And we'd be down one 50-gallon pot because I'd say to the boss, I'm sorry, I can't make hot chocolate in the Quahog pot. It's just going to, it'll taste and smell like Quahogs, everybody that drinks it, because it just, it worked its way in there. So those days were not fun because, oh my God, he was so picky about the hot chocolate and how much chocolate you put into it. Like, the town paid for it. The town gave us thousands of dollars to cover it, but he would be like, don't put too much chocolate in there because whatever we don't put in there, we get to hold on to for the rest of the winter and sell. And I'm like, you need it to taste like hot chocolate. You can't just give people chocolate flavored water when they come down for the Wareham Christmas parade. But he was so cheap about it. So there was always be the battle of wanting to make it more chocolatey. And then when he turned around and he wasn't looking, I'd throw another couple of bags in. But then the fun part was the police department used to lend us the paddy wagon. And we would get to load up the hot chocolate. Probably shouldn't have done this. This probably wasn't really legal. But we would put the hot chocolate in it, in the back, in the pots. And then we would drive it over to the football field with the lights and the sirens on. And we were the ones driving it. The police just dropped it off and said, there you go. Bring it back when you're done. Here I am, you know, 19-year-old kid driving the paddy wagon full of hot chocolate over to the football field. All right, I got to take the final break of this hour. We will be right back.